Hello, dear viewers. I'm George from Ireland, and here I am just off Fleet Street in London, and you can see the memorial bust here to Northcliffe, because Harmsworth is surname. Get confused between him and his brothers. So he was a newspaper magnate, the leading newspaper proprietor in the United Kingdom in the early 20th century. One of the biggest newspaper owners in the world. Only some of the American press barons were bigger than him. And at one stage, he controlled 40% of all newspaper circulation in the UK. You've got to remember, in the early 20th century, newspapers were far more important than they are today because, of course, this is before television and before commercial radio. Radio is only used for military communication. Notably, he died the year that BBC Radio was launched, 1922. So I knew about Harmsworth since my adolescence. What I hadn't realised until a few years ago is that he's Irish. So he's born in Dublin to an English father and an Irish mother. But he moved to England at an early age. His father was a barrister. His mother was from a middle-class Dublin family. He was baptised in the Church of Ireland, and his Irish side were of a unionist outlook. So remember, the whole of Ireland is part of the UK in 1865. So he's one of five brothers. And they're unique in as much as three of the brothers were ennobled, and the other two became baronets. And so one of his brothers, Lord Northcliffe and indeed Lord Harmsworth, well, the two of them were involved in the press as well, but he was the biggest one in terms of newspapers. So he went to boarding school in England, Stamford School in Lincolnshire, which still exists, and later he went to a school in Kilburn, London, where his teacher was A.A. Milne's father, and that's when he began editing a school newspaper and so forth. So he became a journalist when he left school, age 17. Of course, in those days, very, very few people went to university. So although he was outstanding at plain English prose, he wasn't into classics. Remember, Latin and ancient Greek were the mainstay of education. If you weren't good at classics, you weren't clever. This is sort of the problem that Churchill came up with. So here we go a bit closer. You can see the bees, because he was very busy, a workaholic. So he was a driven man. And he was the one who blazed the trail for popular journalism. Because he was born just a few years before the Forster Education Act came in, making schooling mandatory and free of charge for every girl and boy. Up until then, there was a significant amount of illiteracy, even in the United Kingdom. So 1870, the law said every child gets to go to school from 5 to 12. Now, of course, there's some people who were just over 12 in 1870 who lived on to the 1940s. There's some illiterates in the UK even to the 1940s. So when he grew up, virtually every adult could read, even if to a low level. So he decided to address that need, that desire for news, and he invented the yellow press, really sensationalist journalism, concentrating on sport, crime, emotionalising everything, and making sure that engaging articles could be written in a limited vocabulary. So the articles had to have brevity, had to pack a punch, had to tell a story, be as colourful as possible. Because remember, they didn't have photos, sketches. Photos came in right towards the end. So it had to be a little bit entertaining as well as informative, had to express a view. So there you see he's a rather flinty-faced. Does he come across as resolute to you? So he sired a child with his family's maid when he was 17. She was only 16, a son. And he was married for years, but he and his good wife were unable to have children. He had three children by his mistress. So his wife was English, but both his mistresses were Irish. Anyway, so he lived in London most of the time. He founded the Daily Mirror, the Daily Mail. He bought the Times for a while, other newspapers. He bought newspapers that were failing and he turned them around. Some local newspapers, national newspapers. So he really knew how to make a great commercial success of it. He even printed poems. So he's an example of the nationalism of the periphery, an Irishman who was an incredibly patriotic Briton, and obviously for Ireland too, but he considered Ireland's best future was within the United Kingdom. And when it came to the Second South African War of 1899 to 1902, then he thunderously evangelized for the righteousness of the British cause. He had an appeal raising funds for the war and so on. He was a friend of Rudyard Kipling. He knew everyone who was anyone, and he was conservative in politics, having originally been liberal against Irish Home Rule, but he showed some flexibility because when it came to the conflict in Ireland after the First World War, he eventually said, okay, let's settle this, you know, and his papers, they propagated in favour of the Treaty of 1921. Even though that went giving away a major portion of Ireland to 26 counties, yeah, we established the Irish Free State. That was him. What can I say? So obviously a very wealthy man, and in the First World War, he was crucial to British propaganda and indeed spreading the gospel of the supposed morality of the Allied cause in the United States when the United States was still neutral. So he was ennobled in 1904, at the age of only 39, Baron Northcliffe, and then later he's made raised to the viscountcy in 1918. And that was the reason given what he did for the British cause in the USA in the First World War. So he became very ill in 1921, seemed to be losing his mind, and died of a heart condition in 1922. So St. Dunstan in the West is where this is erected in his memory. So Lord Rothermere, Lord Harmsworth, his brothers, the other two baronets. So five brothers, and there were no girls in that family. And here we are on Fleet Street, and Fleet Street was synonymous with newspapers from, 1602, the Daily Courant, as in the first newspaper here. So Fleet Street is still a synecdoche, even though I'm not sure any newspapers are based here now, but into the 1980s they all were. Fleet, not as in a group of ships or fast, but meaning the river. There's the River Fleet, one of the lost rivers of London. It's now underground. And then you can see the names of some newspapers that he used to own. The Dundee Courier, the People's Journal, People's Friend, Dundee Evening Telegraph, and blah, blah, blah. So a lot more printed here because they had to be stamped at Somerset House to pay a tax, but that was abolished in the late 19th century. What else? He also produced comics. He produced an encyclopedia, popular science books, tried to get more children reading. So the effect he had on British life in the first few years of the 20th century was enormous. He said to make and break governments. He excoriated the Liberal Party. He exposed the Shells crisis, where a lot of the shells manufactured by the British Army in 1915 were dud. He was one of those who managed to hound the Prime Minister, Herbert Henry Asquith, out of office in December 1916. He had a hand in that parliamentary coup whereby a third of the Liberal Party withdrew support from H.H. Asquith and agreed to serve in coalition with the Conservatives, the opposition, under David Lloyd George as Prime Minister. Lloyd George, a Liberal. And of course, Lloyd George had been his enemy number one in the time of the Second South African War, accused of being pro-Boer, you know, a traitor. And Lloyd George was obviously the one who was the war leader in the First World War. He knew all about Lloyd George's private life, having an affair with Miss Stevenson, his daughter's tutor, and so on. But he could have ended Lloyd George's career, but he didn't. It was not quite blackmail. So they had a complicated relationship, himself and the Prime Minister at the time. So that is Viscount Northcliffe. I'm all about to say Rushcliffe, as in the town in Nottinghamshire. So a very important figure in the early 20th century. Born at Chapel Lizard in Dublin. Okay, anyway, thank you for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe to on Patreon. Donate on PayPal, georgecallan7 at gmail.com. Goodbye.